Isaiah 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And then the second reading will start at Mark 7, verse 24. So that can be found on 1010 in your Bibles. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the seven loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha.
Please do grab your Bible and turn to page 1010. We're on page 1010, Mark chapter 7. And let's pray as we begin, shall we? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you that we can hear your voice today and we can hear your voice right now as we look at the Bible. And we pray, Father, please that we would. Please would you speak to us through your word and by your Holy Spirit, would you help us to hear you and respond to you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, how would you feel if I called you a dog? It's pretty shocking, isn't it? And Jesus used that idea in our passage, didn't he? I hope Jesus will surprise you today. In fact, I hope he'll shock you today in some ways. He says it out of love, and he says it with an amazing result, as we're going to see. That's dogs. What about the expression cash cow? It's not actually a derogatory thing at all. Have you heard the expression cash cow? A cash cow. It comes from a business model. This is the model. It's very exciting. I studied this kind of thing at university. It's all about products and markets. And basically, you've got different types of markets, different types of products. You've got the stars. They're the products that are going somewhere. They're the products that Dragon's Den will be interested in. They're the growing products. There's the cash cows. They're the products that are doing well now, making loads of money now. That's the cash cows. Question marks, we're not sure about them. But the dogs, well, you don't want to worry about them at all. They're completely useless. Don't put any money into the dogs. That's the idea of the business model. And that's the case for business today. But in Jesus' time, that's the way people thought about people. Scarily. It's pretty terrifying, really, isn't it? But that was the prevailing view. Just before this passage, you'll see in chapter 7, the Pharisees are center stage. And the Pharisees, you'll probably know, were the most religious people of the day. They thought, if you like, that they were God's obvious target market. They're like the stars, or they're the cash cows of the day. And that's because they kept so many rules and so many traditions. They thought, well, you know, we must be clean enough for God. But Jesus had said, chapter 7, verse 20, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. It's not about how religious you are on the outside. You can't just get clean by following rules and traditions. You can't just do it by your behavior, because uncleanness comes from within. That's what Jesus was saying. And that means all of us are unclean, no matter how religious, no matter how many good works you do. You need cleaning on the inside. You need forgiveness from Jesus, and you need a new heart from Jesus. You can't just cover it up by your behavior and your traditions. That's what Jesus has been saying. And so these guys, the seemingly good people, well, this is hard for them because they're not Jesus's target market at all. They can't be because of what they were doing with Jesus. The one who could give them forgiveness and a new heart, they are rejecting. And it was shocking for them to hear this. They're not the stars. They're not the cash cows. And then in our passage, Jesus goes somewhere truly, truly surprising. Jesus goes to Quickfit Land, the region of Tyre. Yeah. Anyway, that's where he goes. Have a look at verse 24. Verse 24. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. here is Jesus. He leaves the Jewish area, the clean area, and he goes to the disgusting, dirty, quick fit, if you like, the region of Tyre. He goes to a Gentile area, a non-Jewish area. So on this map, he goes from the bottom of the map to the top of the map, the Jewish area to the Gentile area. And he enters a house? Well, that's something the Pharisees would never do with a Gentile. And listen to the contrast of the woman to the Pharisees. Verse 25. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. As soon as she heard about him. And just in case you missed the point of who she is, verse 26, the woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. So she's a Greek. She's a non-Jew. She's the type of person the Pharisees would say is unclean. The most unlikely target market, if you like, that the Pharisees could imagine. I mean, she doesn't keep any of the traditions. She doesn't keep all the rules. She probably doesn't know all the traditions. She's not been taught them. But she is desperate. And her world is falling apart. Her daughter is in dire straits. And where the Pharisees had heard about Jesus, and they just want to criticize his words, well, she hears about Jesus, and she runs to him, and she falls at his feet, and she's begging, and she's desperate. And then comes the shocking bit, because Jesus has a test for this woman who's on her knees in front of him, and he says, verse 27, first, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Now, Jesus is probably quoting a saying of the time. It kind of went something like, you know, obviously the children eat before the dogs. You don't just give the children's food to the dogs, do you? That would be crazy, obviously. But the Jews called the Gentiles dogs, meaning unclean, meaning not fit for God. And the Jews called themselves children. After all, they were Abraham's children, weren't they? So they were God's children, weren't they? So the bread was theirs, wasn't it? God's kingdom, life with him, it was theirs. And Jesus is saying, unclean people, they don't deserve the kingdom, do they? Unclean people, they're not entitled to God, are they? What's your reaction? It's pretty shocking. But her reaction is amazing. She's not shocked. She's actually hopeful. She's heard about Jesus. We've already been told that in verse 25. She knows something about his goodness. And then she hears what he says in verse 27. First, let the little children eat all they want. In other words, there could be someone else following them. There could be a second. It's possible others could come as well as the Jews. And she seizes the hope and she says, verse 28, Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She's saying, yes. Yes, I am a dog. That's what she's saying. I am unclean. That's what she's saying. I am helpless. But all I ask for is crumbs. I'm not entitled. I just want mercy. This is where we get those words we said last week at the Lord's Supper, the words of humble access that say, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. It's about mercy, isn't it? That's what she's asking for. And we've been looking at the Beatitudes the last few weeks in this congregation, and we've been seeing what it's like to be in the kingdom, seeing what it's like for those who are in the kingdom. And we've been seeing that we are those who are poor in spirit. We know we're not entitled to God. We are those who mourn. We mourn for our sin. We know that makes us undeserving. And we are those who are meek those who have been humbled by God's mercy in Jesus. And here's the surprising thing. Jesus finds that attitude not among the most religious Pharisees, but in an unreligious Gentile woman in an unclean, supposedly, land. Her attitude to Jesus, you see, is the opposite of the religious leaders. She starts off her little sentence by saying, "Lord," verse 28. She trusts that it's Jesus who can give her mercy, who has the authority to give her mercy. Jesus coming has changed everything, and she just senses it. And so for us, maybe you feel very keenly not entitled to God, not entitled to relating to him now, let alone being in his kingdom forever. You feel that very keenly. You know how much you failed him. You know how much you've shut him out. And all of us have. Well, this is great news for us, isn't it? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. All we need to do is humbly accept Jesus' offer of forgiveness. Verse 29. Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." Jesus rescues this lady and her daughter. Jesus rescues those coming to him who know they're not entitled, but helpless. God's love extends to her. God's love extends to you. God's love extends to me because of Jesus. And he can do this because Jesus took the punishment we do deserve. What we are entitled to, really, on the cross, so that we can have the forgiveness we are not entitled to. And as this woman heard about Jesus, you are hearing about Jesus right now. However much of an outsider you may think you are. So come, like she did. Turn back to God and trust in Jesus, like she did, and be in his kingdom. A Syrophoenician woman could do it. Anyone can do it. Now, you might be very familiar with that, and you might be very familiar with this idea that even the Gentiles can be in the kingdom. Yeah, we know that. But actually, it's really surprising. When you think about it, from Adam and Eve onwards, all of us have rebelled against God. All of us want to be Lord of our own lives, not him Lord of our lives. And God, by sheer grace and mercy, promised Abraham that his descendants could be his people. Now, God didn't have to do that. They weren't entitled to that. God just chose to do that. And then comes Jesus, and, well, it seems like everything's changed again, because it's not just the Jews. God's mercy extends to total outsiders, you and me, Gentiles, the people you would least expect to be in the kingdom. And of course, that means the people we know now who we'd least expect to be in the kingdom too. Maybe it makes you think of your colleagues who seem so far away from God, your family. For me, it makes me think of Cowley, of course. And there's a TK Maxx in Cowley, which is very exciting. Maybe we think the people of Cowley, you know, oh, they're just so different or something. But actually, they're quite similar to us on a very big thing. They are total outsiders, just like we are. Just as you and I are not entitled to God's mercy, nor are they. And could it be that as they hear about Jesus, like this woman did, they might not reject Jesus' words like the Pharisees did. They might just be as humble as this woman, knowing they're not entitled. That's a pretty exciting thought. Mark is showing us that outsiders can come into the kingdom and are coming into Jesus' kingdom. And that's what we see in the rest of the passage. And I'll deal with the rest of it a lot more quickly. Because it's the same message, really. Mark could have chosen anything in the next, you know, little chapter of what Jesus did to tell us next. But he waits. He waits. He waits all the way on the map all the way around the circle. Jesus has gone up to the top, he's gone round, and he's come all the way down to the bottom again before Mark records anything else. They're now in the Decapolis, another Gentile area, because Mark has a point to make. There's a man here who's deaf and he can't talk, and Jesus puts his fingers in the man's ears and then he spits. You've got to do the sound because the children like that when you tell the story. He spits, touches the man's tongue, and the man hears. Outsiders are hearing, and people can't keep their tongues still. Verse 36, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. Outsiders hear, outsiders respond, where the Pharisees, the insiders, did not. And just to prove it, Mark records a very familiar event in chapter 8. It's so familiar. Or is it? Because it's not the feeding of the 5,000, is it? That happened in a Jewish area. It's the feeding of the 4,000. There are loads of people gathering. They're Gentiles, and they've been listening for 3 days. They're hearing a large crowd. And what's Jesus' attitude to them? Verse 2, I have compassion for these people. They've already been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And Jesus feeds them. He feeds 4,000 people miraculously with just 7 loaves and a few small fish. Don't count them, I think there's less. But anyway. Now, I reckon I eat about that much in a day, personally, easily. I eat quite a lot. And now Jesus feeds 4,000 people with that much. Now, I know this is familiar to us, but come on, this is showing who Jesus is, isn't it? He is the Son of God. He is the true rescuer coming to rescue people. He's showing he's God the Son. But who's he rescuing? Well, Mark's written it so it parallels exactly the feeding of the 5,000 in the Jewish area. And it shows how generous God is to outsiders who come to Jesus. Remember what the woman asked for? What did the woman ask for? Crumbs. What does Jesus give Gentile people? Have a look at verse 8. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Jesus gives Gentiles a huge amount of bread, doesn't he? It's enormous. 4,000 people? I mean, this is abundant, isn't it? Loads of leftovers. So with the feeding of the 5,000, there are 12 basketfuls left over, probably representing the 12 tribes of Israel, God's people. Here there are 7 basketfuls left over, probably representing completeness. This is now the complete, all of God's people, even the Gentiles. And it's abundant, isn't it? I wonder if we've just lost the surprise of this, with how abundant this is. For ourselves, first of all, you know, we're actually the unclean outsiders. We're not just symbolically unclean, we're really unclean before God, naturally. And for Jesus just to wipe the slate clean, well, that would be very generous. But this is him offering abundant life, eternal life. In his kingdom, you and I are the hopelessly unattractive target market. We are the dogs. The business consultants would laugh at the idea. But in Jesus, that's what God does. Now, if you've grown distant from God, if you feel like you're a failure, you don't have to. Don't start relating to God based on your works now. Don't let yourself grow distant like that. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Remember the surprise of who Jesus' target market is. People who, as Gentiles, are not entitled to get God's rescuer, the Messiah. And yet he came for them anyway. Dare I say, you can have joy even in that, being poor in spirit. You can have joy in being a dog. A dog who is welcomed into Jesus' forever kingdom. I wonder if you've lost the surprise of this for other people as well. Jesus says, I have compassion for these people. In Cowley Parish alone, there are over 20,000 people, and just like me and you, they are not entitled to being in God's forever kingdom. And your workplace is full of unentitled people too. And for some of them, they will know very keenly that they're not entitled. And in fact, it's actually those who don't have the trappings of respectability, like this Syrophoenician woman, that might actually find it easier to see that. What if they got to hear about Jesus, the Son of God, who came to the filthy, quick-fit land and entered a house? I'm praying many people in Cowley would be surprised by that, shocked by that, shocked by God's abundant, outrageous grace to them. Please join me in praying that. And who knows, as you pray about that, you might find you have a heart to reach some of these people and join us in Cowley too. I'm a dog, and so are you. It's pretty shocking. But Jesus' target market is us, is dogs. And I would rather be a dog in Jesus' kingdom than a Pharisee outside of his kingdom. And if you would too, then rejoice, you can be, even you and even me. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much that Jesus came to rescue unentitled people like that Syrophoenician woman, unentitled people like us, unentitled people like those who we know. Father, please would we not lose the surprise of that for ourselves? Would we not start relating to you on our works? And Father, please would we not lose the surprise of that for those that we know? Please, Father, would we see your mercy for them? And have mercy on them too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.